about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And
we don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart
most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal.
I remember when I first started playing the saxophone, I couldn't hear the upbeat.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it. I couldn't find it with both hands and a pitchfork.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, perceptual acuity.
What kills me is just how oblivious I am to what I don't know at the time I don't know it.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Who is it who said you can't hit what you can't see? You know, and it's, but this, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, I think we assume that perception is fixed and motor skill is malleable.
Right.
You know, we talk about motor memory. Nobody talks about perception memory. Like, yeah. Learning to see.
Yeah.
It's not a popular concept in the way that, you know, we know the importance of repetition in order to get an action right. And we don't think about the importance of that engagement in order to get your perception right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what are the studies around learning that and honing in on that?
The problem is, the studies are that you have to engage in action in order to see the world differently, because it is a system. You know, we think of these as separate. We think that perception is one thing that's all about what's out there in the world, and then motor action is this other thing that's all about influencing the world, as opposed to it's all about tuning action and perception together so that they work in concert.
You know, and I think we've sort of promoted the idea for a long time that if you just do stuff, you'll get better. But we understand that it isn't necessarily true that expertise and experience are synonymous. I mean, it's not like the longer you keep doing it, the better you're going to get. Well, to a point. And then some people keep doing it and they get better and better and better. And some people just stop. And often the difference between the people who keep getting better and the people who stop isn't one of motivation. It's a lack of perceptual acuity. Is that they're not noticing things about what they're doing that have a tremendous influence on what they can do. But you can't refine a motor behavior if you can't perceive the consequences of that behavior from one iteration to the next.
And that's why you need teachers sometimes.
Yeah.
Because left to your own devices, you're not even aware of what it is that's out there that you ought to be looking for that might help you to yeah. succeed. And then if you're going to succeed after that, it's dumb luck.
Yeah.
And what a teacher does is to try to structure situations to make it easier for you to hear the thing you're not currently hearing, right? So when I couldn't find the upbeat for the life of me, what I got was a whole series of exercises that were designed to help me find it. And once I found it, I was like, oh, it was there all along.
Yeah. And but, you know, I want to emphasize something about what Art just said, and that is what a teacher does to make that happen isn't tell. It isn't like tell you what to listen for. That isn't going to do it. What good teachers are is they're good experience creators. So a good teacher says, okay, here are these exercises that if you practice these exercises, things will change in your perception as a result of having done this. And that's really the, you know, the skill in artistry and teaching is knowing how to build experiences for learners that allow them through their actions then to obtain the feedback that they need to adjust their perceptual system as well as their motor behavior.
But the thing is, we adapt to tools very quickly, and as we learn to use them, our perception changes as a result of that. So for example, once you learn to play tennis, your arm includes the racket.
Yeah.
You know, you actually learn to perceive the world with the racket as an extension of your arm, basically. So you don't, you know, the ball, you don't swing the racket in a way that your hand is going to meet the ball. You swing the racket, you learn to swing the racket in a way that the sweet spot of the racket is going to meet the ball. And the only way you can do that is if you learn to perceive the world in a way that tool becomes part of or an extension of your body and gets built into the perception of that. So that I think is deep. And I think the same thing happens in the relationship between musicians and their instruments, you know, that user interface of the instrument becomes an extension of your body and the way that you think about that engagement.
One of the big takeaways about this is that you can't make any of this stuff happen without doing something on the part of the learner. There are so many things, we've talked about this on previous shows, there are so many aspects of our ongoing experience that are automatized and operating below conscious awareness. And a lot of the mechanisms that teach our brains what to pay attention to are not volitional. One of the things we do in my group now is we study gaze, I mean, where people point their eyeballs, which is a surrogate for where they're pointing their attention. And when you watch somebody in a complex environment, you look at a teacher in a classroom, no one has said through some didactic thing, when you're in the room, point your eyes over there. When a kid does this, then look, you know, I mean, none of that happened. I mean, what happened is through many experiences, different allocations of attention got reinforced. And now that's part of your memory. And now you respond in a way that seems intuitive and automatic when actually it's been shaped by a lot of experience. And that's why you can't just watch yourself into being a good tennis player and watch yourself into being a good basketball player or even a good writer. What you have to do is you have to play tennis and you have to play basketball and you have to write a lot.
And a teacher, right, a coach might say, hold your arm up a little bit higher when making this stroke. But that piece of advice, generally speaking, does not fix the problem. What it does is to break the problem you were having and to put you into something close enough to the right position that when you settle back down after practicing that again a bunch of times, you might actually do it in a better way than you were doing it before.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of virtual holidays with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys in Your Head for KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.